Galatians chapter 6, and I'll read while you're hunting. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, amen. I'm preaching on restoration this morning. Amen. Restoration. That's easy for the tape ministry. I probably got some back in that library that says restoration. But this is a new one, restoration. Ah, yes. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, huh? Gotta have something. Hey, amen. The reason some folks are not too hot on restoration is because they ain't got much themselves. Well, I better not get off on that. Amen. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Well. Considering thyself. Woo. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. I was called to jail down in Cairo, Illinois, to some folks who came to our church at Alto Pass. Their boy, who was just a little bit slow in some ways, got off down at Elko, Illinois, in a home that was little more than a party house and a house of ill fame. And I mean, buddy, they was trying that mom and that dad. I went to the trial, and they was a woman judge was passing sentence on this old boy, and his mom came to my church. She wanted me to help him. So I went down and I talked to the police. Amen. And he told me, he said, "We got the goods on him, preacher." He gave me the whole bit of evidence, and he'd confessed everything. And he was playing the guitar while they all danced and sung. And then he was had the run of the house that 11, 12-year-old sisters, and admitted that he had crossed over the line. And then I talked to him in jail. He was all red-eyed and sick. He told me his side of the story, and among other things, he said, "I'm burnt up." That means he had caught the disease that was rampant already in that house from his affair with those girls. And so there he was in jail, so sick and so sad. That policeman said, "We got the goods on him, preacher," but he closed out his talk with me with these words. He said, "He's just human." I wonder if that wasn't what he meant when he said, "considering yourself." Well, think about it in that light this morning. We talk about restoration, praise God. "Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. If a man think himself to be something," now for this message this morning, maybe I'll look at it this way, amen. "He thinks himself too good to restore anybody." Amen. Too good to do that dirty work. "He is nothing, he deceiveth himself, but let every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. And every man shall bear his own burden." Amen. Several years ago, I was in a preacher's house in northern Ohio, and they had a dog. He was a good old dog. I mean, he liked to retrieve ducks. He loved swim. He's a large size, big size poodle. He liked squirrel hunt. He liked rabbit hunt. Anything you want him to do, he'd do it. Amen. He also took the run of the house. And I was sitting there after we had eaten, and one of the girls, who's now a missionary, amen, took a dish off the table and put some food in it from off the table and put it down on the floor and let the dog eat it. And then she became conscious that I was sitting there eating out of the dog was eating out of the dish. And she was conscious I was sitting there watching. And she said, well, said, that'll be his dish from here on out. Well, I knew that was a little white lie. That dish was going right back in the dishwasher and right back on the table. But generally, amen speaking, when we take a dish and put it down for the dogs or the cats to eat out of, it's got their name on it. Most of us would have a problem if we knew it, no matter how many times it had been through the dishwasher, of eating out of that dog dish. Amen. That's exactly the problems we have with restoration. Amen. But they can take that set of dishes and take it down here and donate it to the thrift store. Mix them all up. Amen. And folks go down to the thrift store and buy them. Amen. And he'll never know the difference. Once they wash those dishes, whether a hog or a dog or a cat ate out of it, amen, it's been restored. Amen. Restoration is hard on us because it's hard on our mind. Amen. Now, 7 years ago, Lawrence and Darlene Bishop owned and restored the old governor's mansion up here in Jackson, Ohio. Is it Jackson or Jacksonburg? Jacksonburg, Ohio. Amen. Years ago, when we first came here, we happened to be up there and went over to their house. We were invited over to their house, and Sister Collins and I and some more preachers, and we ate at their table, and they showed us through the whole mansion and how beautifully they had restored it. That was the last time I was in it until they sold it to a lady who kept dogs. Eventually, she had 50 dogs in that house, and she moved out. The dogs became mean and wild and took the run of the upstairs and downstairs. They tore that beautifully restored old mansion all to pieces. Well, there was a possibility that it might come for sale, so Sister Collins and I went up to look at it to see if there's any possibilities for it. Amen. And we got to go in the house. And you will never believe how bad it was. The dog droppings, the manure, was some places 4 inches thick in the floor. The fluids from that had drained through the cracks in the floor and leaked through the ceiling down below. It was the stinkinest, nastiest, awful place you ever saw. But being a carpenter and builder, I knew that it wasn't impossible. Amen. And so I went to the auction to just see what it would sell for. Oh, I don't mean the house only was in bad shape. We opened the garage and looked in it, and it was just as bad a shape, even though it was a garage. You couldn't step nowhere. You come out of there feeling contaminated and dirty. It was terrible. Amen. I went to the auction, and Darlene and Brother Bishop was there, and they bid on and bought for $60,000 the old mansion back. dog, contamination, and all. Amen. And Lawrence Hart, his mother, and she went in there, Bethel's sister, and she went in there and cleaned that house out. They restored their own house. Amen. Lawrence was so mad at that woman that he felt like that she ought to have her place in prison right beside that old boy that was killing them boys and eating parts of them down here in Cincinnati. I can't remember his name, but he... Dahmer, yeah. And he bought his own house back, and his mother cleaned it out, and with a lot of help, they restored that house and sold it again. But I would have a problem with that house because I smelled it when it was in such bad shape. I believe, Gary, that if I went in there today, I'd be afraid I could still smell those results. It's okay. The house has been restored. I didn't go back and look at it, but my problem's in my head, you know. My problem's in my imagination. Amen. We just can't imagine when it comes to restoring that anything good can ever come out of Nazareth. Come on. Amen. That's our problem. Our problem in church is that when somebody is restored, now let's go back to that word restored and why they need to be restored. They were overtaken in a fault. Fault here is translated from a Greek word which means a moral fall. Amen. Katabaino or whatever it is. Katabalo, I can't remember. I didn't write it down. I don't preach much with notes anymore. They bother me. They hold me down. Amen. I can't say all I need to say following 1, 2, 3, so I just preach off the cuff most of the time. Amen. And restore means, overtaken in a fault means to have a moral fall. Amen. And that's the one that needs restoring. Amen. Ah, yes, praise God. In 1949, you could buy a 1949 Chevy for $2,100. Brand new. It just one problem. Not very many people had $2,100 back then because a dollar was still a dollar. Amen. And they wanted $700 down payment before you could drive one of them jewels off the floor. Reason I know, I asked old Bill down in Mammoth Spring, amen, what that new pea green 49 Chevy would bring. Cost, he said, $2,100. Man, we shook our head and said, that's a lot of money, ain't it? And old Bill agreed with us. That's a lot of money. Amen. But boy, what would you give, Gary, for a new 49 Chevy that you could have bought for $2,100 back then?
A lot more than that.
Amen. A lot more than that. What would it be worth? Well, depending on where you sold it or bought it, it'd be worth anywhere from $25,000 to $50,000, depending on who bought it. Amen. How much would it cost to restore one that's been sitting out there, amen, for 50 years now, amen, and every once in a while you get to go in the old barn where it's sitting and it's just sitting there begging somebody, restore me, restore me. What would it cost?
About $20,000.
$20,000 to restore one? It only cost $2,100 to start with? And, amen. How much work would it entail to restore one?
About 8 or 10 years.
Eight or 10 years. Now he's going to take that body clear off that frame. Take that motor clear off that frame and sandblast that frame and spray and paint that frame. And when he gets done with it, amen, and puts that motor back in and, amen, chrome plates the valve covers, amen, and boy, gets him a V8. He's going to spend $20,000 to $25,000 restoring it. 8 or 10 years, long, hard work. He forgets how much labor he puts in because he's doing it in his spare time. Amen. And then he must have the means, the money, the power. The Bible said, ye that are spiritual, you got to have something in reserve. You get into this business of restoring. Amen. You got to be able and willing to take the time when you get into this business of restoring it. Amen. But with cars, we're a little different and a little more forgiving than we are with houses and dishes and antique pots and pans. Amen. That some of them wound up in the barn or in the hog pen. And we found that old iron skillet. Amen. That the dogs had eat out. We found that Dutch oven. Amen. That we fed animals out of. Amen. And we got it out and we restored it. Not very many people want to eat out of it. Especially if they knew where it had been. Especially if they had seen where it had been. Even though, and get this, it's as good a shape as it ever was, and maybe better. But with cars, we're a little more forgiving. Amen. Because, boy, Gary, once he get it restored, he can ride down the street in his newly restored jewel. Amen. Boy, I like to have some of them old jewels that I used to have. I just get all nostalgic when I look at them. Amen. Some folks are showing me an old Buick, 57 Buick that I had. They've already painted it. Excuse me, 87 Buick. Not a 57. I did have 59 Buick. Amen. But they showed it to. That's that old Buick. And I looked at it a long time. Took it to Amco and got a paint job on it. It looked pretty good. I just get all nostalgic when I look at them old cars that we've gone to church in. Amen. Man, I'd like to have that 54 Plymouth, yellow with a black top, that I drove to Hamilton 43 years ago, a hell revival in Hamilton. I'd like to have that old Plymouth back, fully restored. I just get all nostalgic about things like that. Amen. And the first step in restoration is you got to care. You got to want to restore. Huh? Most of us wouldn't give a second thought to that dish we took out of the cabinet and fed the dogs out of. It'd wind up in the garbage for long. Amen. Hey, we just don't like to think about things like that, do we? Before you can restore, you got to care. Amen. You got to have, could I say love, where I had nostalgia a while ago? You gotta love things. Secondly, you gotta want them like they always were. To restore. Because the word restore means to put it back like it was. Amen. Now when a preacher lays his ministry on the line attempting to restore, let's say for instance another preacher. Amen. We ought to be glad he's doing it instead of us. And we ought to pray for him. Because he's going to need a lot of help restoring. Amen. And I'll tell you what, if we get all bent out of shape And we get all mad because some preacher's trying to restore another preacher and laying his ministry and his life on the line to try to restore another preacher. Amen. Let me give you a little bit of advice. One great teacher said there's no grace for a third person in a disagreement. The person that sticks his hand in or his proverbial screwdriver in the gears to try to hinder somebody from restoring, I'm afraid he's hurting. Because God is in for restoration. God likes this restoration, do you? You still read Psalms, don't you? You still preach out of Psalms, don't you? Amen. That's because God liked David and he wanted him back like he always was. Amen. Hey, you don't think you're worthy to do anything for God? You've done too much? Well, look at Moses. He was a murderer. Amen. He didn't stop there. He had a couple more strikes too before it was all over. Amen. But God liked Moses and he wanted him restored. And he took care of him. Hey, God liked David and he wanted him restored and he took care of him. Amen. And you know, Ahithophel, he didn't like it because David was restored. Ahithophel was David's chief counselor. David spoke of him both prophetically and immediately. Amen. In the law of double reference, he said, we took sweet counsel together. We went up to the house of God together. Amen. But it was his own familiar friend that raised up his heel against him. You know what happened to Ahithophel when he tried to hinder God's restoration of David? He wound up at the end of a rope himself. Amen. Just like Judas did. Ahithophel, the betrayer of the Old Testament, was an anti-type of Jew, or a type of Judas in the New Testament. Amen. And the Bible puts them on an equal and speaks of them in the law of double reference interchangeably in prophecy. Because Ahithophel got in the way of God trying to restore. Amen. I've had people get mad at me here in church and quit and leave church and sour up. Amen. Because I was trying to help somebody. Restore somebody. They thought I was compromising. Amen. No, and God ain't either. Amen. You still read the book of Hosea, don't you? You still preach out of the book of Hosea, don't you? What if I had told you like Hosea did? Amen. God told me to marry a harlot. Say, Hosea, you're crazy. You're off bat. God don't do no such thing. But he did. Amen. One time. He told Hosea to marry a harlot. And after she played the field with many lovers and wound up in the slave market, amen, God commanded Hosea to go buy her back. And Hosea said, I bought her unto me for 15 pieces of silver. Amen. And said, come, you're going to be my wife from here on out and never be the wife of another. And he bought her back. Amen. God is a God of restoration. We got some awful extreme examples, amen. But we got some folks sitting around in holiness churches that think they're something. Evidently, they're too good to restore anybody. They can't stand the thoughts of restoring anybody. Much less seeing them used in church when they're restored. Hey, amen. I'll admit that fine old 49 Chevy, you might not get it out and drive it to work every day. Why? Because it's special. You got too much money in it. Amen. So you get it out on Sunday or drive it in the parade. Amen. God has paraded some of these men in front of us that made great failures. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, old Samson, he was one of the worst. Amen. Lord have mercy. He slept all night with a harlot in Gaza and woke up under the anointing and saw the city is surrounded and the gates was barred, and he pulled the gates, post and all, out and carried them 20 miles to the top of the mountain. Amen. But he caught up with him after a while. But you know, God didn't quit on Samson. Amen. His hair began to grow again. That's all a Nazarite had to do to be restored is renew his vows. Let his hair grow out again. And while he was grinding the meal, the Bible said, howbeit, his hair began to grow again. Amen. And standing there betwixt two pillars. Amen. And the Philistines having a big shindig, high heel time. Amen. And making mockery and sport of Samson. Samson said, let me feel of the pillars to the little boy. And the power of God came on him one more time. Fully restored and anointed of God. Amen. This mighty warrior pushed down the pillars that held up the temple and killed 3,000. Of the lords and kings, princes and queens of the Philistine, and kill more people in his death than he did in his whole life. Amen. He pastored the church for 20 years. Amen. You say that is a terrible thing, what Samson did. Yeah, but you ought to have seen the rest of them. Amen. Yeah. I've heard it all and I've seen it all and I've just about experienced it all in the last 48 years, next month. Amen. I've seen some folks that ought to made it and I've seen some folks that didn't. And I've seen some folks that made it but it didn't look like they should. Amen. But God used them. Amen. I'll admit, I'll be the first one to admit that I have a weakness about some things. Amen. That house up there, if I walked in today, my imagination played tricks on me. I believe I could still smell them dogs. Amen. I just kind of believe that. If I couldn't smell them dogs, I'd think I could. Amen. Yeah. Amen. But hey, when Jeff's kitchen burned and it smoked up all his house and everything he had and he had to restore his house. Amen. He found out that you could get an ozone machine. Amen. And he took that ozone machine and plugged it in his house. And it took every bit of the odor that was left out of that house. Out of that truck, they had a fire in. Amen. Took every, had some candy left in the either house or the truck or something. And it even took the flavor out of the candy. Amen. Now, folks, that's power. I said, that's power. Amen. God can so restore, amen, he can turn on his ozone machine that we call grace, hallelujah, and he can even take the smell out. He can even take the memory out, praise God, and give us full rehabilitation. Can you say amen? Amen. And God can use you if you'll seek God and get some power and consider yourself that you also might be tempted and someday you might need help just like Moses, just like David, just like Samson, just like Hosea, just like Peter. Ooh-wee. Just like Paul, he was a killer. Blood in his eye. He signed the warrant for Stephen's death, held the coats of the men that stoned him, and went after the rest of them. Amen. But God put this zealot of the Pharisee Benjamite, Israel, amen. He put him right. Hallelujah. But Paul even had a lapse later on. When John Mark failed, not bad. He just a kid wet behind the ears, going out with dreams and visions of doing a great work for God. And when he found out he got away from home, that it was rough. It was nip and tuck all the way. It was a life and death situation. It was dangerous. He got homesick and he went home. Don't blame John Mark when most of us won't even take the first step away from the house. Don't blame John Mark when most of us will never wind up any farther than town. Amen. Because we ain't going very far. We get homesick. I get homesick before I leave, but I go anyway. Amen. Hey, Paul had a lapse. He forgot momentarily all that God had done for him. And when John Mark, Barnabas' nephew, got himself straightened out and wanted to go again, Paul said, no, he can't go. Barnabas said, why not? He's seen his mistake. He's prayed through. He got a hold of God. Paul said, I had to worry with him before. I'm not going to worry with him anymore. I don't need a quitter on the team. Barnabas said, he's not a quitter anymore. He's got the right stuff. Paul said, if you want him, you take him, but I'm not taking him. And Barnabas did. Barnabas, that preacher finder, took John Mark and went on another missionary tour. Amen. And late in life, the sun was setting for the grand old apostle. Amen. He had only made one mistake since God had called him to preach. I guess that was John Mark. I mean, the big one that we know about. Amen. He said, send me John Mark. I need him. For he's profitable to me. And the ministry. And I think probably a tear might have dropped on the page as Paul wrote. Because for Paul, John Mark was restored. I'm glad Barnabas done it. I'm glad Paul acknowledged it. Amen. And probably if you never do any great, renowned, notable work in this world, somewhere along this narrow, winding trail, you might find somebody that has failed and you can help. Amen. It's very important to help. Sundar Singh and his servant was climbing the Himalayas over that freezing mountain, barefooted, freezing cold. They had to hurry. Their hurrying kept them warm as they walked barefooted over the freezing, rough terrain where precipices were on the side that men could fall over and not come back. Amen. And they came upon a fallen man who was crying feebly for help. Sundar Singh, the prophet, in a yellow robe from India, started scrambling down the hillside to help the man back. The servant, the aide for Sundar Singh, said, we can't help him. If we help him, we'll freeze to death ourselves. We can't be bothered with him. We've got to go. And Sundar Singh said, you go, but I'll help. You can still get the book. You can still read it. The yellow robed barefooted prophet. Amen. Sundar Singh got the man's arms around him and escorted him back to the trail. And struggling, they made it to the top of the mountain and down the other side. As they scrambled along, Sundar Singh and the efforts of saving his companion that he had found along the road saved himself. He got up enough heat, body heat. Amen. He got up enough work to save himself. They passed his servant, frozen to death, beside the road who didn't have time to help the fallen man. He's going to save himself. Folks, we'll save ourselves by saving somebody else along the way. If we don't, we can't. What earthly good are we? Why did God leave us here if not to save somebody else? Let's stand and ask God to make us an instrument of restoration, an instrument of His power, praise God, an instrument of His great love. Father God in heaven, we ask You to help us, Lord God. Oh Lord, help me in my hang-ups about restoration, Lord. Help all our friends to hear this tape. Touch our feeble lives. Make us strong to help somebody else. Forgive us wherein we fail. In Jesus' name.